Hello, Janet Gallen with Love Letters Live. Today's guest, and I'm going to go right to you quickly, if I may, Lee, because I have a feeling there's an awful lot for you to say.
Oh, good grief.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
No, we'll get there because you've done a lot and been a lot. And it's Lee Merriweather, who you may know from your acting, and Miss America, right?
Yes, I would assume if people are paying attention.
Over the years.
Well, good heavens, I've been around so long.
Let me ask you something about long ago. I already asked you where you were born and you didn't remember which hospital, and that was pushing it to expect you to remember that day. But about being Miss America, do people talk to you about a lot about that? It is kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Every once in a while, someone will realize that I was and we're called forever Miss Americas now. No more formers.
Oh, of course, yes.
It's forever Miss America because we are. I will always be Miss America 1955.
That must have been an exceptional experience.
Oh, it was.
How did you come to that? I mean, at what point do you realize that that is a goal or something you can do?
It wasn't a goal of mine.
I figured not.
At all. Oh, no. Heavens, when you grow up being skinny, awkward, gawky, big ears, and a snaggle tooth, and all sorts of things, and a brother that points those things out to you, and although he did love me, but you just don't think in those terms.
So when did that come to light?
I was in college, City College of San Francisco. And I was taking radio. I knew I wanted to be an actress.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. Oh, from the time I first saw a movie and watched it and then saw a play. My mother took me to plays in San Francisco. Oh. And that's what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do it. So I was going to study. And I wanted to study at Pasadena Playhouse, maybe because I'd heard about it.
Oh, so you had that? Okay.
I had it in my mind. And I wanted to take drama. So I took radio and television at City College.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, let's see. I had to, in order to pass this radio class, I had to write, produce, direct, and find the music and cue it up for a radio show. And that was your final. And so I had found these albums, and I was walking back to the class. And I had these albums, and this friend of mine, Jerry Christman, who's now passed away, but he was so dear, and he said, "Oh, you're not going to do a record pantomime, are you?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, you know, for the Miss San Francisco thing." And I said, "What Miss San Francisco thing?" And he said, "Well, aren't you, I mean, you're going to compete, right?" And I said, "No." What are you talking about? And he said, "Well, you're nominated." I mean, one of the fraternities didn't have a sister sorority or something, I don't know, but they asked and they got permission and they turned my name in, but no one asked me.
For
no
a Miss San Francisco. So yeah. Somebody didn't notice that you were skinny and had a snaggle tooth?
I don't know. I don't know who was responsible
my
for
goodness.
Suggesting it.
Yes.
But anyway,
you said okay.
I said, no, I really didn't. I said, well, what do I do? I mean, and he said, "Yeah, well, you have to audition." And so I went to the dean's office, and she was very gracious. Let me call. She said, "I think you should call your family, call your mother." And I said, "I call my mother." My mother said, "Call your father." And so I called my father, and he said, "Let me check on this," because he had heard that the Miss San Francisco pageant at one time was run by a kind of a nefarious sort of fellow. And so he said, and he called me back and he said, "Oh, it's up and up. It's on the up and up. It's really good. It's run by the Chamber of Commerce, or the Junior Chamber of Commerce now." And so I said, "Oh, well," and he said, "You have to go down today. The auditions for it are today." And I said, "What am I doing?" And he said, "Well, you've been working on that Shakespeare thing. Why don't you around the house? I hear you doing it, you know." I said, "Oh, yeah, well, I guess I could. I don't know."
Just to recite.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I got into the, I got out of the class and I got onto the streetcar and I started running the Shakespeare in my head. I kept going up. On it. I couldn't remember Tybalt's Shroud and something else, and it was a Juliet, you know, in her potion scene, and all just all. And I said, "Okay." I said, "You've got to come up with something else, obviously."
Just a little louder.
So I had a I thought, oh, I can do this pantomime that I did at Letterman Hospital.
Oh, which is why this fellow said, are you going to do the pantomime?
Yeah, well, he saw the records.
Yes.
And he thought I was going to do a record pantomime. But I thought, oh, I could do that. At least it's acting. I mean, it's a cute little thing. And the guys in the bed and the soldiers, you know, they loved it. So I got there, and then I heard, and I signed in, and they said, you just wait over there. So I'm listening, because I could hear through the door. I heard a young woman, sing Belle Dee from Madame Butterfly beautifully.
Uh-huh.
Then I heard Moonlight Sonata being played beautifully. And then I heard Swan Lake, and I thought, oh, my gosh, she's obviously a ballerina. And I snuck up to the door, and I looked, and I said, she's really good. I thought, oh, this has got to be something of merit. What can I do? And they called my name.
As you were trying to figure it
and
out.
So I couldn't do the pantomime. I knew I would go up, and I started praying. I said, please, dear Lord, help me. What am I going to do? And I just walked in, and all of a sudden, I had this calming feeling. I just really...
Goodness.
And... they said, and your name, Lily Meriwether Bissom, and what are you going to do for us today? And all of a sudden, I remembered what I had done in high school. Now, that's a year and a half earlier.
Uh-huh.
And it came to me. I had done a one-act play, Riders to the Sea by John Millington Synge, and I played an 80-year-old mother lamenting the loss of her last son to the sea.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
And so I told him the story that she had begged him not to go to the sea. You just can't go, you know, mm-hmm. riding on the horse. And then he died, of course, mm-hmm. he fell over. And so then I started, and I did an Irish accent, and I went up a couple of times in it, but I was able to cover with keening, mm-hmm. and making the sign of the cross several times and all of that. And I finally got through it. And the last part of the speech is rather poignant, and I finished with that. And then I finished, and I said, thank you very much. Picked up my shoes. I had taken them off and mm-hmm. walked out. And I thought, well, at least I tried.
Yeah.
And son of a gun, I think it was a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got a letter saying I was one of the 16 semifinalists in the Miss San Francisco pageant. That's how it all started.
That's interesting to me because I, ignorant as I am about all these kind of things, I think of Miss America coming first and then acting following it because you've already established yourself as celebrity.
Mm.
But it was the acting that got you...
Uh-huh. Yeah, there. Really did.
Yes.
Well, yes.
That came first, really.
That's what I wanted. And as luck would have it, all the way through the pageant, the Miss California, well, of course, once I won Miss San Francisco, I thought, well, that's it. And I, you know, and
high point someone, your life.
And someone said, well, you're going to Santa Cruz. And I said, why Santa Cruz? And they said, well, that's where Miss California is chosen. I said, oh, this is
a step.
I have to compete again. And I did. And I thought, good Lord.
Was that okay with you in some way? Did that make sense?
It was all right. It was all right. But I had to. I mean, this I had to do. And I thought, okay, all right. I'm obligated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even expect to even mm-hmm. place in that one. It's California. Good mm-hmm. heavens, son of a gun! I won, and I couldn't believe it.
And then the next obligation is to compete.
Yes.
Oh, of course, if you're a Miss State, then you have to go
and
for
then,
yes.
Then a terrible thing happened. My father passed away.
Oh.
Only 48.
Oh my goodness!
Cerebral hemorrhage, and I just shut down everything.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do anything. And my mother, thank heavens, and the woman who ran the Miss America pageant at early time, she wrote a lovely letter saying that she was positive that my father would have wanted me to go. And, of course, my mother had already said that. And then she mentioned that I'd have to turn back the scholarships that I had already won in the Miss San Francisco pageant and the Miss California pageant, and you wouldn't get the scholarship that you go get just to come to Atlantic City. They give you a $1,000 scholarship that back then. I don't know if they still do it, but I think they do, just to cover, you know, expenses and all. And so...
You said yes.
I said, but I was in such depression.
Sure.
But my mother said, you know, Daddy will be there. Oh. You know he'll be there. And he'll be watching you. And I was all, you know. And so it, thank heavens I did go.
Yes. Was it an uplifting project as you did it? I mean, did it?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, the Miss California people, a couple of the judges, wonderful people. They really were. I mean, and they were in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Westmore was a judge.
Oh.
And Solibiano with Warner Brothers and Al Trasconi with MGM. They all really gathered their and they said, you've got to work on your the drama of it and all work on that.
Oh, good.
And everything. And you better get into the top 10.
So that was really educational
in
itself.
Top 10? Wait a minute. Why are you insisting that I get into the, well, every Miss California since the year one has gotten into the top 10, so you better get into the top 10. They didn't want me to...
Do them proud, please. Yeah.
I guess I'll go overboard with milkshakes or something to add weight or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. But anyway, that's why. And so when the top 10 came about, and I was one of the top 10, I just relaxed. Okay, I've done what I've got to do. That's it. Okay, I don't care. Everything will be fine. And I picked Miss Florida to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniels, we were sort of partnered together. They thought it would be fun, Miss California, Miss Florida, you know, competition kind of thing. And it didn't happen. We became fast friends and still to this day. And she came in second, you know. But backstage, I thought she'd won. And then Miss Slaughter, Eleanor Slaughter, came over with the banner, and she put it on my lap. And I said, "Oh, did I put it?" And they took Anne away from me, and I looked at her, and Eleanor Slaughter said, "No, dear, that's yours."
Oh, so and it was just shocked to you all.
I just went. I went bananas. I just started crying. I said, "What? No, it's Annie." Oh, you know, I was going, Annie. I thought it was she was going to get it. Yeah. So it was really a shock.
That is a lovely story and a lovely journey.
Mm.
And so, what happens after that in your life? Like, you're obligated to certain things for a year after being...
Oh, yes, yes. And fortunately for me, especially, Philco was a corporation that sponsored a scholarship, a big scholarship to the Miss America pageant, along with them. There was a company that they have, you know, like an automobile car, and you know, I had a car and
that scholarship you could
gifts.
Use wherever you wanted.
Is oh yes, the, uh-huh. yes. And this, the Philco also gave me the opportunity to appear on the Philco Television Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
Twice.
Yes.
So I had that experience while I was Miss America, actually performing live from New York on the Philco Television Playhouse, which was, you know.
So you landed where you really knew you were meant to be since you were a child.
Exactly.
Oh, that is lovely to hear. I never knew any of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
And so your acting career exciting. After this really did pick up, and you've done a lot that we've all seen.
Well, yes, but I went on to the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
I was interviewed, and then midway through my tour of duty as Miss America, touring all over the country and appearing here and there, they called from the Today Show and said, "We'd like you to be a permanent member of our company." So I became the first woman's editor on the Today Show.
Wow.
And so I was the on-air person for fashion shows and cooking segments and the women's things.
But yes.
They had what now are producers doing that on air, but they wanted one person to do all of them, and that's when they chose me to do that.
And where did it go after that? And what was your favorite acting role? What did you like? And that's a silly question because you may not have a favorite.
Oh, heavens. I do. I have several.
I'm sure. Really
have been so lucky. I really have. But I did get to play Catwoman.
Yes.
In the first Batman movie.
Yes.
And it was such a joy because not only did I work with Adam West and Burt Ward, but I got to work with, Cesar Romero. Burgess Meredith, Frank Gorshin.
Sure.
Joy. And I learned so much from them. I really did. I watched them every second I could because I knew I was with geniuses there. Mm-hmm. They were so generous with their time and I was just so lucky. I really was. I've been lucky all the way along.
Yes, I can see that's true. Mm. And and beauty and talent, so evident. But luck helps.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because
definitely.
There are beautiful, talented people that don't get to express it. So
I know.
You mentioned when I asked you about devices, if you use devices. I mean, I go out to dinner now and I see people sitting at the table next to me. They're each on their cell phone separately.
Oh, like I know. Device. I see that and I don't understand.
Well, I don't either. But so I asked if you use a lot of devices and you said no, that your daughters. Tell me about your family.
Yeah, I have two lovely daughters and both have been in show business. And Leslie still is. She's a stunt woman and has been for quite some time.
How did she come to that?
She's very athletic and saw the opportunity, and a couple of friends of hers said, "Hey, you should do this." And boy, she's worked a lot in
nice.
Doing stunts, and thank heavens she's stayed pretty safe. And Kyle acted with me in a couple of plays and on television in a couple of shows. And it's just she's in business now, so she's.
Now, where were your parents from?
My mother was and father were born in Oregon.
Oh.
And neither of them had any aspirations to be in show business at all.
I know. I was asking because I can hear the tiniest echo of an accent.
Oh,
but
no.
Oregon wouldn't explain it. Okay, well, maybe it's just my imagination. Okay.
No, it just may be me thinking about Irish and not. I tend to go there, you know.
Yes, I can do that very effortlessly.
Accents. Luckily, accents of.
Easy for you?
Yes, I can hear it and pretty much do it. I've been lucky in that respect because in the Batman movie, I played a Russian correspondent.
Yeah.
And so that was easy for me to do.
And you said you had done the play Love Letters.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, I did it with Bo Bridges, which was great fun. We did it at Theater West as
an
actor's workshop that I belong to. And we did it as a money, a
fundraiser?
A support fundraiser for the theater. And it was great fun working with him because we've known each other for years now. He's very easy to work with. I've done Love Letters in, oh, good Lord, wherever, with several actors, one in Chicago and one in...
But it's a role you relate to.
Oh, yes. I love it.
What do you love about it best?
Well, it's different each time I do it, which is interesting because I think you're reading it. And you're working with someone you've never worked with before. That's the joy. And I did it with my husband as well. Marshall and I have done a lot of plays and musicals together. Done a little night music together. And
so you're having a really full career still.
Oh, yes, yes.
Is there something you're working on now that...
Well, at Theater West, we have a writer's workshop. And one of the writers, Linda Rand, she's very gifted. She's a singer. I mean, really, real singer. But she's a writer as well. And she's written a number of plays, and she's written one especially for me, mainly because I guess she knows I can play autistic.
Oh, tell me about that. Okay, yes, because I had asked you how you met David. And mm-hmm. Tell me about that role.
Yes.
And why did she know you could play that?
Well, I had done one scene from another play where I was mentally challenged, mm-hmm. and So she saw that, and then I got her to walk with me because I'm kind of a charity chairman for Ability First, which is formerly the Crippled Children's Society of Southern California, but they changed the name. Actually, the clients asked to have it changed because they had grown up and they were adults.
Yes.
And they said,
oh,
you know,
anything with children.
We say, you know, it's children, Crippled Children's Society, and we're not crippled.
Yes.
We're, you know.
And not children.
And we're not children.
Uh-huh.
And can we? So they changed it to
Ability
First. And it's
nice.
A wonderful organization. They have many centers all over Southern California, Long Beach, all the way up.
So what are guided by what? I mean, what do they do?
They have areas where you can come and bring your children or the grown-ups come, and they have activities.
Oh, so it's like recreational
and educational as well. Yes, and it's a support group that helps these, and they have most of my charity money that I make when I sign autographs. I just felt funny charging money for autographs at these charity shows. I mean, the memorabilia shows that you get asked to go to, and I thought, I don't have to keep it. I can donate the money. I just save that money that they pay for pictures, you know, and I sign autographs and everything, and I save it, and I have a special account, and I put it in the savings thing, so I'm not carrying around a lot of money, and then I write checks to various charities.
Oh, very nice.
So it's worked out nicely.
Yes.
And the Ability First, it has a camp, Camp Pivica, up in the San Bernardino Mountains, and it's fantastic because they have a swimming pool that's designed that the youngsters and the adults, and they vary because sometimes they have children, just children, and then they have adults, and they can come, and they can, they're in wheelchairs. Into the pool.
How nice.
And then out, and it's all safe and everything. I heard that they're putting in a zip line that actually that will have a case, a cage, I guess.
And
that,
they can ride.
The wheelchair can ride on it and go down a zip line. I'm dying.
You mean down
to
a hill,
that.
Or is it still into the pool?
It's across a mountain.
Oh well, that's what I mean. It's scary. In other words,
yes, very scary.
Uh huh.
Yeah. But they
kids are adventurous.
Oh yes.
Why should they be denied the experience of something?
It's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
What does it call for in you to play the part of an autistic person?
It helps if the dialogue leading up to and what I'm given to say works. And then if it doesn't, I have to make it work, you know, and I just, it's a...
Using the words you're given.
Yes.
You don't get to change the script.
No. And so I do, and it's worked fine. And I'm now working, Linda has written another script where I have had, and actually she wrote it, getting the idea when we went on the walk at Universal for our charity, for Ability First. And she said, I have an idea, and I'm going to write a play, and then we'll see how it goes. And so we've been working on that.
Nice.
And so it's I've had a stroke, and...
You have yourself?
No.
I mean, in the play.
I am in a stroke. And two...
See, this is how good an actor you are. That when you said that one sentence, I thought it was you. Okay.
No. And the two youngsters from across the way come, and they are... One is autistic, and one is
A learning disability?
Yes, yes. And so they come and clean this old age home.
Oh.
And they come clean the area, and that's their job, and they get to do this, and they're very excited about it, and they love me because I'm nice to them, and it's a charming.
And somehow everybody is growing and learning through this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a lovely piece. And so we're
so a lot of what you're doing is kind of geared on bringing awareness to people. That's
definitely.
Really lovely.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's important. Mm-hmm. You know, with communication like it is now, we might as well be using it to even out some of the bumps in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Fill others. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something in terms of love letters. Do you ever write them? Do you write letters now? I know when we were growing up, that's what we did because that's what there was.
That's all there was.
Right.
That's true. I was never good at it because my writing was terrible.
Your handwriting?
I have my handwriting. Well, when I went to school in Phoenix, Arizona, our class was bad. Our class was
how do you mean?
Well, we were noisy.
Oh, you mean misbehaved?
Oh,
bad.
Misbehaving.
I see.
Oh, we were terrible.
Uh-huh.
And so the teacher said, all right, you're not going to learn how to write. And we're not going to use, and you're not going to learn to write with a pen either.
How bizarre a punishment.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. I mean, it was awful for me because I wanted to. I wanted to write with a pen. That was the important
thing. Then it was an effective punishment.
Yes.
I see.
And so we were so good.
Oh, I see. Okay, good.
We were quiet and everything else. That's fine. But we missed out on really learning, and then I moved. And I came to San Francisco, and I'm in the fifth grade now. And I haven't learned how to write. I mean, I don't know how to write.
Interesting.
I can print.
Well, you can do a letter in print. It takes longer, but yes.
But it was awful. Oh, and I had that. And then when I was given a pen, which was ink.
Yes,
back
I
then,
know.
Inkwell.
Yes.
And like this. And oh, good grief, that was just terrible. I had a really rough fifth
grade What an interesting turn of events for that, because handwriting is just king. I mean, everybody has Lucid or Bright on the computer. Nobody has your handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, indeed, nobody does.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's still yours.
Yes. Well, what little I do.
Yes. But there's something about getting a letter, a handwritten letter, even if it's not good handwriting, that is just, I think, wonderful, because it's just such a footprint and thumbprint of a person.
It is,
you know?
Definitely.
I had somebody write a very sweet letter to me, and his handwriting really was abominable, and I don't think there's anything I can't decipher. I don't. And I got this thing, and I thought, well, maybe every fourth word. I mean, I really couldn't read this.
Oh.
And he knew it, so he had typed the same letter and stapled it to the back.
To the back, so that you... Oh.
So I'd have something handwritten by him, and... That's a nice thing to do anyway, because, you know, when people get old and sight is an issue, I mean, when you're 93, you might not have the sight you did, and to be able to read something typed in big, so many possibilities.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you will, okay, because you've got daughters and grandchildren?
Yes, so I have to...
Do you sign birthday cards to them?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, then,
oh yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, I can handle my signature anyway.
Because, you know, when we're gone... Mm-hmm. And children and grandchildren find something with our handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bringing us back into the room.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It really is.
You're right.
Oh,
well,
I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Oh,
I've had such
so
a
glad.
Good little time here. and learn things that I never would have thought of.
Ah, oh,
like
good.
Acting was the goal, and this other stuff, thankfully, intruded upon it.
Yes.
And, yes, gave you an audience who got... I'm very touched that they were so responsive to the piece you did for Miss San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Where did you go to school in San Francisco?
George Washington High School.
Oh, yeah. You did. And you stayed in San Francisco till adulthood?
Well, yes, until...
After call?
We went to, let's see... The pageant, I think, really changed because I traveled the full year and then came home, and then I was right back to New York, and I studied in New York, stayed there, got married, so I didn't really come back to San Francisco to live.
Well, thank you again for doing this. And I just want to say, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, if you think your handwriting isn't good enough, it is. You can do something, because when somebody has something signed by you, you will be ever holding on to something that's felt the hand of that person, the touch of that person. And that's a huge gift down the generations.
Well,
I think you
have given me a goal.
Okay, well,
and
thank you, dear.
I will try very hard.
Well, it's a thought. It's a thought. Thank you so much. Thank you, honey. And I want to say until next time, goodbye. This is Janet Gallen saying I'll talk to you soon. Bye.